is brought to you by Head Start Basketball.
Hello and welcome to the Hoop Heads Podcast. It's Mike Klinzing here with my co-host Jason Sunkel. And Jason, it is Tuesday night. We are going to do a quick free agent wrap-up of what has happened so far during the first few days of free agency. So why don't you kick it off with sharing our first free agent signing?
So I think the first thing that we should talk about is Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving going to Brooklyn, because obviously that happened like right at 6 o'clock. We knew Kyrie was going to Brooklyn. What, like 2 weeks ago?
Once he signed with Roc Nation, it seemed like it was pretty much a done deal.
But then the Durant going there, Brooklyn's, you know, they're taking a gamble in a sense, because who knows the health of Durant. And obviously from everything that we've been hearing is that Durant is going to sit the whole season. He's not going to play. So he's out for the year. You know, this is going to be Kyrie's team this year with DeAndre Jordan, which we'll talk about that in a minute. But, you know, I like the move for Brooklyn next season. I don't know about this upcoming season, how they're going to do. I think they're a playoff team for sure, but how high of a playoff team, I don't know how much of a difference they're going to be. I don't think they're a top two or three team this year, but somehow, I don't know if you saw the Vegas odds, the amount of money spent on Brooklyn this upcoming season was like the third most, which is ridiculous considering Durant's not going to play.
Yeah, I don't know how you come to the conclusion that Brooklyn is going to be a true title contender next year. They're not. I don't see how Kyrie, with the cast of characters that they're going to bring back, is a championship-level team. Now, could they be better than what they were, which is one of the bottom four seeds in the East? Could they conceivably get into the top four seeds? I could see that, depending on how things go and whether or not Kyrie is able to mesh with those guys that Brooklyn already has on the roster. But as far as title contention, yeah, I don't see that. I don't see that happening. Until Durant gets there, their hopes of contending for a title, I think, are slim and none. And Durant's clearly not going to play next year. If somehow Brooklyn were to trot him out there, that might be even more of a case of malpractice than Golden State trotting him out there.
Yeah.
I mean, I think he's going to want to sit out the entire year. I think he'd be stupid to play next year at all. And when he comes back again, I think the mystery is, and whether or not it's going to be where this is going to be a slam dunk signing, or whether it's going to be something that you're like, it turned out okay. What's Durant going to be? We've talked about it numerous times on the show. What is Durant going to be when he comes back? There's not a good track record of guys returning and being able to play at a high level after they get back from that Achilles injury. It's definitely something that takes away from a player's athleticism. Obviously, Durant's ability to shoot as a 7 foot tall guy probably won't be diminished. The question will be how much athleticism is he going to lose as a result of, you know, having torn that Achilles. So it remains to be seen. I think overall you'd have to give Brooklyn an A. One, signed Kyrie, who we've been a big believer in here at the podcast, despite the misgivings that people in Boston have about him. And certainly that's understandable based on the way those last 2 years went. But I think Kyrie's proven that he can be a championship player in the right scenario. Next year may not be the right scenario where he's clearly going to be the number one guy, but the following year, maybe he slides down to 1A or 2. And I think that's the right place for him. And so from that standpoint, Brooklyn did a great job. And then the other thing is, and I know we'll probably talk about the Knicks, but gosh, if you're the New York Knicks or you're a New York Knicks fan,
I'm surprised Madison Square Garden's not on fire yet.
I would think there's got to be enough people in New York that they could stage just a 24-hour protest outside of Madison Square Garden and outside of wherever James Dolan's band is playing and outside of his office. All you need is like five people standing there with picket signs 24 hours a day.
Here's what I think they should do. Home opener. Don't go. Don't go. Hit them where it hurts. Like, don't spend any money. Don't show up to the game, because that's the only way anything's going to change. If Dolan, now we have our own Dolan in Cleveland who doesn't like to shell out money. So, you know, we kind of have this in baseball. I know you don't necessarily follow baseball as much, Mike, but, and that is the white ball that you pitch and you hit, just so you know, Mike.
Is there a bat involved in
there's
that?
There's a bat involved with that.
Okay, got it.
But anyways, I don't know if I'm a Laker or if I'm a Knicks fan, I just don't go to the game. Like, I don't spend the money because that's the only way things are going to even consider to be changing, in my opinion.
I don't think things are going to change no matter what you do until, for whatever reason, it doesn't seem like James Dolan is going to be embarrassed into selling the team, because if he hasn't been embarrassed by the last 20 years of ineptitude, he's not likely to be embarrassed in the coming years ahead. So I don't know what the answer is if you're a Knicks fan. I really don't. And the fact that those two guys went to Brooklyn and didn't go to the marquee franchise in the city is very, very telling. And I just don't know how it ever changes. I mean, New York's had their eye on how many guys over the last 20 years, and exactly zero of them have ended up in New York. And I don't see where any of that's going to change. So kudos to Brooklyn for pulling it off. And, you know, I'm not sure about the DeAndre Jordan signing. I don't know that.
Four years. That's the thing that gets me, Mike.
Well, I don't know where I read initially when I saw that. I either read or saw 2 years, $10 million. And at that price, I was like, all right, I guess I can understand it. DeAndre Jordan's better than, you know, a lot of guys out there that you could pay $5 million a year. And then I saw 4 years, 40, and I was floored. I was like, you got to be kidding me. Like, this guy hasn't been good in 2 years.
You saw Kyrie and Kevin Durant took a little bit of a discount too. Like,
which, hey, I mean, I guess you want to play with your friends. You think DeAndre Jordan can still help you in some way. And
he's not a crunch time player, Mike. He can't make free throws.
No, like, I agree. Look, I agree. I mean, even when he was in his prime, he was useless in the last 4 minutes of a game. So I'm not sure what value he brings. I'm not sure that I would pay any guy who can't be on the floor in the last 4 minutes of a game that I would want to pay him much of anything. And certainly I wouldn't want to pay him $40 million. But if that was part of the price tag to get Kyrie and Durant to go there, then I guess the Nets are going to happily pay that price. And the reality is they didn't have to lose any of their core guys in order to do it. So they added pieces, and two of the pieces are pretty good. The other one, not so good. And one of them's only going to play, not going to play the whole next year. So, you know, there's some potential downside here, but I think if you're Brooklyn, you have to look at this initial.
If you look at it and say 3 years ago I had nothing and now I've got Kyrie, Kevin Durant, and DeAndre Jordan.
Right. A year from now, if the chemistry with Kyrie goes well this year, you have a title contender. Heading into next season, you have a title contender a year from now. So you got to be happy with that.
Joe Harris, hit us up, buddy. That's what I'm going to say. Right, Mike?
Joe, if you're listening, we're definitely going to want to maybe make a trip to Brooklyn with you at some point. So we'll put that on our calendar at some point, Joe.
Yeah. All right. So then we'll shift to another team in the East. We'll shift to Milwaukee and the moves that they made. They signed Brooke Lopez, 4 years, $52 million.
Good signing.
Middleton, they gave him a max contract. What was it? 5 years, $178 million.
I don't know if you read this, but I saw that is the largest contract ever signed by a second round player.
Wow. I didn't even know Middleton was a second round player. So
yeah, largest contract ever signed by a second round player. So I thought that was interesting.
That's impressive.
The Middleton signing, I don't know. I look at it both ways. If you sign Middleton, is he good enough to be? Is he good enough to be the second best player on a championship team? And I think I could go either way on that. You know, you look at the Toronto series this year. Milwaukee's up 2-0. They look like everything's going really, really well, and all of a sudden, boom! You know, things turn, and they end up losing that series. But they had the best record in the regular season. Certainly looked like they were on track to make it to the finals at least. And I think if they would have met that depleted Warriors team, I think the Bucks would have done something similar to them that Toronto did. So you could say they were very, very close to a title with Middleton as their second best player. I'm still not sure that long-term committing $178 million to Chris Middleton is the right move. Although he's only, I think, 27 or 28 years old. So you're getting him in the prime of his career. He does have all the skills that you're looking for in a second banana in that he can really shoot the ball. He's a good defender. He's long. He's proven that in the playoffs he can play well. And I'm not sold that he's the best second banana in the league, but considering that if they had lost Middleton and not signed him, they really didn't have much cap space to be able to do much of anything to replace him. So all things being told, I think the fact that his age and that he's heading into the prime of his career is going to make that the fact that maybe he's just a notch below what I'd want my second best player to be, I think the signing is going to turn out to be okay for Milwaukee. And I think long term, it'll be a pretty good move for them.
So I found the tweet you were mentioning. It's ESPN Stats and Info. As of now, the only players to ever sign for more than Middleton's $178 million deal are, there's two players, Mike. Who are the only two players to ever make more money in a single deal?
All right. So I read this tweet. Westbrook is one.
Yep.
And
$206 million.
And Klay Thompson.
No, the other one. The other Splash Brother.
Curry,
yep. Curry right. And Westbrook are the only two players to ever sign for a bigger deal.
What was Klay's deal though?
This tweet was 2 days ago. So right, Klay's so deal.
Klay's deal, I think, exceeds. Him. I think Klay signed for $180 million, I think.
Yeah, so maybe Klay has exceeded him. We'll get there in a minute here.
All right.
So then the only other team, the only two teams in the East, I feel like Kemba went to Boston, which is kind of what we predicted. And, you know, I don't know. I think the way that Boston's looking at it is, Kemba's never really had a good player to alongside him, and Tatum and Brown are better probably than anyone he's ever had on his team. I don't know if you would agree with that statement.
Oh, but absolutely.
So I think, you know, Kemba's probably going to play pretty well with Boston. He's obviously not as good as Kyrie. So I think on the floor, the production might be a little less than Kyrie. But I think as far as the chemistry piece, I think Kemba's always been lauded as a good team player. I don't think I've ever heard or seen an issue with Kemba Walker, and maybe I'm wrong in that statement, but
I think you're
so
right.
I feel like that move for Boston, you know, that probably, although the talent might not be quite the same, I think they might be better next year because of it. So now they lost Horford to Philly, so they lost another one of their key members of their team, and I don't know if there was Enes Kanter isn't going to be the linchpin center that's going to carry them over the top. That's definitely a downgrade too. So I think Kemba's position is going to be about the same. And maybe the team as a cohesive bond will do better. I don't know that they're going to perform any better than the team this year though.
Yeah. I mean, they could potentially have a better regular season record maybe than the Celtics did this year. Potentially. I think the key is going to be, what Gordon Hayward do you get? If you get last year's Gordon Hayward, you know, well, then I think they're probably going to drop off. If they get something closer to Utah Gordon Hayward, then they have the potential to still be a top four seed in the East, because I think Kemba's going to play well. I think they're going to have better chemistry. You got to believe that Tatum and Brown, or hopefully if you're the Boston Celtics, you're thinking that those two guys are going to take another step forward and continue to improve and get better. And so if everything comes together the way it potentially could, best case scenario, I think Boston could still finish in the top four. Now, is it likely that all four of those guys are going to perform at their highest potential level? I'd say it's probably unlikely that all four of those things are going to come together. But overall, I think you have to say that if losing Kyrie was addition by subtraction in the minds of the Celtics, and you replace him with a player who's maybe 90% of what Kyrie is, because I think the biggest deficiency from Kemba's standpoint is defensively, what is he? And you could certainly make the same case that Kyrie was not strong defensively. So it's not like you're losing. You're going from a guy who was first team all defense to a guy who's not a defender. You were going from a guy who wasn't a defender to another guy who's not a defender.
So I saw a tweet, Mike, the Enes Kanter, Kemba Walker pick and roll, like on the defensive end, if they're playing defense and the teams are running pick and roll, they're going to have a field day with that, because I mean, Kanter's not really that great of a defender either, right?
Right. Well, no, he's not. And the other thing is, Kemba's had limited playoff experience, and so he really has never experienced that. Teams hunting him on every possession and really trying to attack him. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes. But by all accounts, Kemba's been a great teammate, and I think if you're Boston, you have to be happy with that addition. But I don't think it vaults them into any kind of NBA championship picture in any way next year. I think they're still – they're still looking at the, you know, anywhere from probably the sixth to the fourth seed next year in the Eastern Conference playoffs, I would have to guess.
Yeah, I agree. All right, so then the other East team that I feel like we need to talk about is Philly, because they've done a lot of things here. They lost Redick, who went to the Pelicans, which I like that as a fit. We can talk about that in a minute. I think that's a good fit for him. Tobias Harris stays in Philly. I guess Ben Simmons is getting a max deal. They're working through the finer points, but it sounds like they're going to do that. So that was a little surprising to me, because I thought maybe they were going to try to do something, because obviously, in my opinion, it's still Joel's team.
Right, but I think once Simmons signs that max contract, he's young enough, he's productive enough, that's a contract that's going to be easily tradable once they get it signed. True. So you lock him up long term. If it works out and him and Embiid can find the right chemistry and they can get along off the court and they can put it together on the floor, then you've got him locked up. Yep. If for some reason it ends up not working, Simmons's talent is undeniable, and somebody's going to take a chance and try to bring him in and say, hey, we can build a certain kind of team around him, and he was misused in Philadelphia, and we'll take a chance. So I think that from Philly's standpoint, locking up Simmons in a long-term max contract makes a ton of sense right now at this moment.
Yeah. And then obviously the other one being Jimmy Butler getting traded to the Miami Heat. And they got Josh Harrison back, I believe. Is that that's who they got back, right?
Josh Richardson.
Oh, Josh Richardson, Josh Harrison. Yeah, you know, I don't know.
One of the Joshes.
Great Jimmy Butler. You wanted to go play with Miami. By the way, did you see the tweet? There was an article that was out in, I don't want to say Sports Illustrated. And what's the one thing you never put on? And he said a Miami Heat jersey. It was when LeBron was down there, he would never put on a Miami Heat jersey. And now, of course, he's going to be wearing a Miami Heat jersey. So I think that's pretty funny.
Money talks, kid. Money talks.
Yeah. But so I don't know. Philly's going to be interesting this year to watch. You know, it looks like they've kind of tried to go somewhat all in. We keep reloading. And then they signed Horford, too, by the way. So they kind of reloaded. But I just don't know if I like how they're going to match up against teams, because – In my opinion, they're way too big.
They're still huge. The question I think is, how do they guard little point guards like Kemba or Kyrie, guys like that, Curry? How do they match up with those guys? But I think it comes down to you're going to overwhelm teams with size, and you're going to try to overwhelm teams with talent. And you look at what they did this year, and Simmons, other than a couple games during the playoff run, I think most people would probably say he was a disappointment. Embiid had the Toronto series where, four out of the seven games, he was compromised in some way, whether illness or injury or who knows what, a hangnail. I don't know what it was.
Yeah.
And all that being said, they were four Kawhi Leonard bounces away from taking game seven to overtime, the team that eventually ended up winning the title, in theory, relatively easily beyond the Sixers. Now, they beat the Bucks in six, won four in a row from them, and then, you know, as the Warriors got decimated by injury, took care of business in that series. So if you're Philly, you got to be looking at it going, man, we were so close, and our two biggest names, our two best players, probably didn't play up to their capabilities during that series. And, you know, you bring back Tobias Harris. Can he be the third best player on a championship team, fourth best player on a championship team? I think he's probably good enough to do that. Horford, I've never been a huge Al Horford fan. I don't know. He always leaves me wanting more, but I get some of the good things that he does. And on this team, he's just going to be able to play his role and kind of do the things that he does, play defense and not comb the occasional three and be a guy who moves the ball and just is a great teammate. And so I think he fits well with what they're trying to do. It's all going to come down to the development of Embiid and Simmons. If Embiid and Simmons continue to get better, then Philly next year they got to be one of the favorites coming out of the East, depending on what happens with Kawhi. You look at the other teams that are at the top. Milwaukee loses Brogdon, brings back Middleton, brings back Lopez.
And they're going to get Robin Lopez apparently too, by the way.
I did hear that today. I didn't hear that it was done.
Sounding more and more likely. It hasn't officially happened yet, but the Lopez brothers reunited.
watch out mascots and watch out superhero cartoons, and they're going to be, watch out comic book shops in Milwaukee are going to be, you know, they're going to, or is it Disney? I think I can't remember if they're Disney or Marvel. I can't remember which one it is, but one of those things, they're big fans of that. So I don't know. I think Philly could easily go into next season. I'm still not sure about their depth, which was a problem for them this year. I don't know what their bench is going to look like, but certainly their starting five is going to be as good as any. Josh Richardson is a big upgrade over J.J. Redick on the defensive end of the floor. Obviously not as good of a shooter as Redick, but still a good three-point shooter. So I think what they lose in three-point shooting by missing J.J., they make up for with Richardson's defense the other end. So I think Philly's going to be very, very formidable. And I think what Milwaukee did, I would have liked to seen them keep President Malcolm Brogdon, but I also understand why they let him go. Yeah. And they didn't just let him go. They got a first round draft pick and 2 second rounders back for him. Yeah. So,
and, well, did you see they signed Wes Matthews too? I missed that one too. He's a solid player off the bench for them.
Wes Matthews. They also re-signed George Hill, I saw, for 3 years. Yeah. 3 years, like $29 million for George Hill. Hey,
congrats, George Hill.
That's a good contract for, if you're George Hill, you got to be pretty happy with that, because when he was done here in Cleveland, I thought he was washed up at that point. So good for George. He definitely played well last year. He was key. So maybe they figure you get a healthy George Hill and, you know, plug him in when Bledsoe's struggling. And, you know, I think the Bledsoe contract is the one, if they had to do over again, they'd probably think twice about it. But yeah, I think Milwaukee and Philly go into the next year as the two favorites in the East.
Yep, I agree. Obviously, depending on what Kawhi does, we'll talk about that in a minute here. Some other Eastern Conference things we don't really have to spend any time on. Isaiah Thomas signing with Washington. We have Derrick Rose went to
Pistons.
The Pistons. Congrats, Trevor. Congrats.
Yep.
So, those are the two other big ones that I can think of off the top of my head here. I'm using Woj's Twitter feed as our guide here, Mike. So,
all right,
so
really solid. Nice.
All right. So I think there's two teams in the West that have made the biggest moves, in my opinion, and I'm sure you agree. Utah is swinging for the fences, Mike. I really like what Utah is doing. I really do. I think they're setting themselves up thinking, listen, we have to be loaded here. We have to compete. And they got all the right guys, in my opinion. I just think Utah and Portland kind of, you know, going all in here with Whiteside. They signed Lillard to a huge contract extension. So I like what both those two teams have done. Utah, by the way, do you see that Jeff Green got a 1 year deal in Utah today?
I did not see that, but I
love what they're doing. I really do. Jeff Green's a solid bench player at this point in his career, he's going to be a good veteran leader.
There's nobody better than Uncle Jeff Green. You might get a couple good games out of him at key moments like the Cavs did. And again, he's a guy who, as long as you're not counting on him to be the man, as long as you're not counting on him to be super duper important on your team, if you can play him and if he's going well, you keep him in. And if he's not, you take him out. Then I think you're in great position. I love what Utah's doing.
Bogdanovich. Right. I mean,
signing Bogdanovich is huge. I mean, I think he's going to fit in really nicely. They obviously already traded for Conley before the deadline. So I think they're set up really nice. I mean, they've always been a team that's kind of been off balance and that they've been, you know, they've leaned more heavily towards defense and rebounding. And when push came to shove in the playoffs, it came down to, can Donovan Mitchell in the last 2 years, can Donovan Mitchell create enough offense by himself to carry them? And the answer of the last 2 years, at least against the Rockets, has been no. But I think now
Moutier signed with Utah just an hour ago. Emmanuel Moutier.
Right.
So I mean, that's another one right there. I mean, he's a decent player. He's not great, but
I mean,
he's a bench guy.
I mean, he's a bench guy that provides you with depth and a little bit of insurance.
He's also 23.
In case Conley gets one of his annual injuries, at some point during the regular season. I like Utah. I liked Utah. I know I've been on record as liking Utah for the last couple of years. I like their players. I like the fact that they have a defensive identity. I think Quinn Snyder's a good coach. So by adding the guys that they've added, I think they've kind of balanced the scales between offense and defense a little bit more. And I think it's going to make them a more diverse offensive team come the Western Conference playoffs next year. And I think if you look at it, and it depends on what happens with the Lakers here and Kawhi, obviously, but you can make a case right now as the team stand that Utah maybe the favorite going into next season based on what they have.
Yeah, I agree. And then the other team that I mentioned before is Portland. And, you know, they getting Whiteside, they got the Lillard contract. And I know I'm missing. Oh, they got who'd they sign the other day? They signed. I like what Portland's doing too. Who's the other one? I'm blanking right now, Mike.
I don't know. I know they got. I mean, Whiteside. I'm kind of lukewarm on him. I'm not sure that he makes a difference. I guess he's good insurance.
Well, he's good until Nurkic gets back. Right.
I mean, right. He's good. Right. He's good until Nurkic gets back. They lost Harkless and Aminu, which are two guys who were obviously starters for them. So, you know, you never know what can happen with those guys. They re-signed your boy Rodney Hood.
Oh, yeah, Rodney Hood, theoretical Rodney Hood. That was the other one.
Theoretical Rodney Hood is back with the Portland Trailblazers.
He got a four-year deal, right?
Let me see here. I was just looking at his contract. Rodney Hood, 2 years, $16
million. Oh, 2 years. All right. Well, that's still pretty good for Rodney Hood.
Yeah, and, you know, Rodney Hood had some moments last year in the playoffs. And, again, I like theoretical Rodney Hood. Theoretical Rodney Hood is a good player. It's just that real Rodney Hood isn't always as good as theoretical Rodney Hood. So depends on which guy you get. But Portland's going to be solid. I mean, they made the Western Conference Finals this year. And if you look around, obviously the beast from Oakland is gone. So it's opened up a path for these other teams to think they have a realistic shot at it. And, again, depending on what happened with the Lakers, if you're Portland, you got to be sitting there going, hey, why not us?
Yep. Although I will say, Mike, Golden State did make the D'Angelo Russell move, and I think that was a pretty good move for them.
Interesting. There's been a lot of what I've read has talked about how, you know, they want D'Angelo Russell to soak up minutes while Clay's injured. They're not sure whether or not he fits with their style because he likes to dribble the ball and shoot a lot of twos, and, you know, he's got a lot of floaters and mid-range shots that are part of the way he scored a lot of baskets this year. And that maybe when Clay comes back, they're going to look to flip him for guys that fit better with their system. But I think that's underselling what D'Angelo Russell is and what he could be. You know, you look back to when he came out of Ohio State, he was the number two pick in the draft. And I know coming out, the thing about him was people said that he had a really good feel for being able to pass the ball, that he had a very high basketball IQ. And what they worried about was his athleticism and his shot. And he's been able to shoot the ball, I think, better than most people probably would have thought when he came out of the draft. And his IQ is still there. I mean, to me, basketball IQ is not something that disappears. And I think sometimes you just have to figure out and you kind of adapt to your system. So last year when LeVert went out and Brooklyn kind of turned their offense over to D'Angelo, he had to be the scorer. He had to do some of those things, and he played to his strengths. And now it'll be interesting to see how in a new system with, you know, the guys in Golden State with Curry around him and with Draymond and with Looney back in the fold, it'll be interesting to see what that team looks like and see how D'Angelo performs out there at Golden State. Certainly, I think it was worth the risk of what they gave up. And, you know, they obviously got rid of, you know, speaking of the Warriors getting rid of Iguodala as well, which that was interesting to me that he was the guy that they chose to sacrifice. And it's certainly a whole new Warriors team than what was there before. So it'll be interesting. I'm not sure what to make of them at this point. I don't know what they're going to be. I still don't know if there's a path for them to really improve their depth, which was one of their key downfalls, at least in the playoffs. But I think regular season wise, I think they're a middle of the pack playoff team in the West probably.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. All right. So the other teams talk about really quickly. I really like what David Griffin's doing down in New Orleans, Mike. Get Favors, you get Redick, and they signed that EuroLeague power forward. I don't know if you saw that too. I mean, those are all guys that I don't think New Orleans is competing for a championship next year, but I think they're going to be fun to watch. They're going to be like, you know, they talk about league pass teams. That's the team that I want to watch as many games as I can, because I think they're going to be fun to watch. They're going to be young. They're going to be running up and down the floor like a bunch of crazy people. And then you've got Redick and Favors to kind of take the veteran thing. And
yeah, I agree. You got two guys who, you know, Redick has been in the league for a little longer than Favors, but Redick has a reputation as a hardworking guy, as a great teammate, and Favors has been toiling away in Utah. I've never heard a negative word spoken ever about Derek Favors. Now, that's not to say that there isn't something there, but it seems like he's a high character guy, the kind of guy that you'd want to put around the young players that New Orleans is going to have out there on the floor. So I agree. I don't know that they're a top tier Western Conference team. I don't even know if they're good enough to sneak into the playoffs, depending on, I guess it depends on how good Zion is right out of the gate. But if he's as good as advertised, then I think that there's a chance that they could sneak into that 7-8 spot in the playoffs with the roster that they've put together. And by bringing in two guys who are veteran professionals to show those young guys the ropes, to give guidance to Zion and what the lay of the land is and how things should be done, I think that's a great way to go about building the team. And I don't know what they signed Favors for, but Redick's, I think, was a 2-year contract, right?
Yeah. 2 years, $23 million or something like that, $24 million.
So Favors is younger than – I know every time I see his age, I'm surprised. I think he's only like 25 or 26. So, you know, he could potentially be around by the time that they're good. So good moves by the Pelicans. Not surprised. David Griffin, I thought, was a solid GM when he was here. So certainly he's made some good moves, and now it'll be interesting to see what that product looks like out on the court. And, of course, it still comes back to, is Zion a transcendent superstar that everybody thought he was going into the draft, or is he going to be more of an average player? And, of course, you and I are on record as believing that he's going to be that transcendent talent. And if he is, then I think these moves are solid in terms of building around that type of player.
Yep, I agree. All right, so then I guess at this point, Mike, we've been talking for 31 minutes. We really haven't talked about it. But we got to talk about Kawhi. And then I guess the only other big name that's kind of seemingly has no market, according to multiple people on ESPN and what I'm reading, is Boogie Cousins. But I think we want to spend our time talking about Kawhi here. I'm really getting that Lakers sniff, Mike. And I don't know that if I'm going to like it very much.
Well, here's the thing. If he was going back to Toronto, I just don't know why you would drag it out. If you're going to go back there, it seems like there's not anything that Toronto is going to tell him in a meeting that he doesn't already know.
Toronto does have the last meeting, Mike. You know that.
Right. But I'm just saying, what are they going to tell him? I mean, there's nothing that they're going to tell him or show him or be able to convince him with that's going to be any different than what it looked like 2 weeks ago when they won the championship.
I agree.
You know, I mean, they didn't sign any new free agents. They're not rebuilding the roster. They have who they have. And quite frankly, like I said, I think a couple of those guys are on the downside of their career. I'm not sure that if I'm Kawhi, I don't know that I would consider doing more than a one and one.
That's the only situation I see him going back to Toronto. Right. If he signs a 1-on-1.
Right. And if he did that, you know, then one more year, he's a free agent again, and then he's eligible for the 10-year, whatever, super max, like the Chris Paul type deal. And maybe that's what he wants to do. And maybe you say, hey, we want to go back and defend our title one more year, and the Lakers are still going to be there the year after. On the other hand, like I said, I just don't know why you would be waiting around. If it's going to be Toronto, then meet with LA the first day and then get all the information from them and then make your decision. He's not going to the Clippers because the Clippers, even with Kawhi, I just don't think they have enough on that roster to be able to compete. So I agree with you. I think when push comes to shove, I think the opportunity to play with LeBron, to play with AD, and I don't know what his relationship is like with either of those guys, and it seems like any NBA insider that you read or listen to, nobody has any idea what this guy's going to do. Nobody has any idea what makes him tick. But from my standpoint, if he was going to go back to Toronto, it just seems like he would have done it right away and wouldn't be dragging this out. So I think, as crazy as it sounds, I think he's going to end up with the Lakers, and then, whew, that's a pretty good trio. I mean, I don't know what the rest of their roster is going to look like. Jared Dudley, baby, come on. But
Smith after he gets bought out. I mean, I don't know.
Those are three pretty good guys to build around. And again, LeBron, Father Time is coming for him at some point, but he's still going to be pretty darn good when you have arguably two of, I don't know, without Durant, I mean, those might be the two best guys in the league.
Yeah.
Plus LeBron. So you can put together a roster that's going to be pretty competitive when you have three of the five best players in the league.
Speaking of LeBron, talk about the kind of power he has. Klay Thompson just got his ACL surgery today, Mike. Why do you think that is? Oh, because it had to be because of the Space Jam 2 appearance.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I think how ridiculous this is. This guy, whose career is playing basketball, waited to have. Now, they didn't say this is the reason he waited till today. But what other reason could it be?
Yeah, it's crazy. It really is. It's like, really, it's really.
He had a two-day shoot for Space Jam 2. Come on now, that's ridiculous.
Yeah. It is ridiculous, but hey, got to do what you got to do, man. Yeah. Got to do what you got to do. So I think Kawhi to the Lakers. Boogie, who you mentioned before we started talking Kawhi, I have no idea what anybody does with Boogie. My guess is somebody's going to pay him in the $5 to $10 million range for a year. I don't know who that somebody's going to be.
So Woj was on ESPN today saying that he doesn't even think Boogie's going to get $7 million. He's under the $7 million.
All right.
He's like, there's not enough teams right now that are going to pay him because he came back this year and he didn't look great. And then he got re-injured going in the playoffs. And even when he came back after that injury, he didn't look very good.
And so, let's face it, he plays the wrong position. Like teams just, I mean, unless you're DeAndre Jordan, teams just aren't paying centers. Although the Orlando Magic paid my boy Nikola Vucevic four years, $100 million. Then they re-signed Terrence Ross for, I think.
And Orlando, I don't know what you're doing there, guys.
Three years for like $57 million or $58 million, something like that. And you're locking yourself into a bottom tier Eastern Conference playoff team. And these teams are all in a hard position. I get it, because you let those guys walk and is Orlando going to be able to attract other free agents with that cap space?
And drop some pixie dust.
I mean, you have to think not. I mean, most of these teams, again, they're all in a position sort of like what the Cavs are right now, where basically you're pinning your hopes on the internal development of your young players, that somebody turns into, you know, a really, really good player that you can build around. And I'm not sure that, obviously, that formula doesn't work very often. It's not often that, you know, Milwaukee drafts Giannis at 15 and he becomes the best player in the league. Those kinds of fairy tales just don't happen very often. So, you know, so a lot of times these teams are stuck in a hard position. You know, the inverse of that is Charlotte, you know, who let Kemba Walker walk for nothing. And, you know, they're getting killed.
Terry Rozier, man.
Right, but I mean, they're getting killed for it. They're getting killed for letting Kemba go and not trading him midseason when they could at least got something for him. And then at the same time, you see Orlando getting killed for signing Vucevic for, you know, $100 million. Well, Kemba was going to be a lot more expensive than that, and Kemba wasn't going to lead Charlotte into the upper tier of the Eastern Conference. So I think that's a case of you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. And I would not want to be a GM of one of those mid-market teams trying to figure out, do I sign these guys who are fringe NBA all-stars but aren't guys who are going to make a difference in a championship run unless they're the, you know, second, third, even fourth option. So
That's the one good thing this year, Mike. We didn't really have to worry about that since we didn't have any cap space.
We did not have to worry about that.
I will say next year there's I was looking at the list of free agents, because next year obviously the Cavs are going to have lots of money to spend. I don't really know that there's anyone that's going to be jaw-dropping available. Unless Kawhi signs a 1-1, Mike, then we can back up the Brinks truck next season and get him to come to Cleveland.
All I can say is Darius Garland better be pretty darn good if you're going to hope that that's going to happen.
It's not going to happen, Mike.
I think the only interesting question is what happens to Kevin Love? Is Kevin Love on the roster of the Cavs this time next year?
I'm starting to think not, Mike.
I don't think so either.
That makes me sad. It makes me sad, but I just don't see it. I think, listen, there's going to be a team. I think once again, this is going to go down to the Kawhi situation. If Kawhi doesn't go to the Lakers, Mike, there's like 14 teams that could be legitimate title contenders, in my opinion. Like, you just talk about, it's kind of way.
I think even if he does, because I still think that LeBron's not going to be at the same level that he was 2 years ago, 3 years ago. He's not capable of playing at that level. Kawhi, we know, was hurt at points during the playoffs, and he obviously sat out an entire year with his quad injury. So who knows what kind of health he has. Davis has played 75 games the last 2 years, so he's been relatively healthy, but he has kind of a history of getting nicked up. So I'm not sure, and who knows what the rest of that roster looks like. And it's tough. I mean, Golden State showed it, that you're one injury away from what could potentially be a juggernaut completely falling apart.
Yep.
And so I think that even if he does go to LA, they might be the favorite, depending on what they do with the rest of the roster. But if I'm any of these other teams that we talked about tonight, if I'm Philly, if I'm Milwaukee, if I'm Utah, if I'm Portland, if I'm Denver, who, shout out to Eric Buehler, Denver did not get any free agents, Eric. I'm sorry to report. You gotta rely on
Eric, you're with Cleveland. We got zero free agents. We're golden. Right.
Gotta rely on Michael Porter and Bol Bol. Those are your two guys that you're looking for. Besides,
hey, listen, Mike wanted Bol Bol at 10, so he's got to be a great player for you.
That's right. I don't know if my college scouting
is pretty tall. I wonder if the higher elevation is going to affect him, Mike.
Maybe, who knows? I have no idea. But anyway, if you're one of those teams, you got to believe that you're right there in the mix. I mean, certainly whatever the Lakers throw together is not going to be as formidable as what Golden State appeared to be going into this season. There's no way. Yeah. The history, the track record of teams, super teams coming together in the first year is not that great where you're like, oh, this team's definitely going to win it all, especially with the way they're going to have to fill out the rest of the roster with minimum salary guys. So I think any of those teams are going to be, they have to be thinking to themselves, hey, we got as good a chance as anybody, no matter where Kawhi ends up.
Yep, I agree. So we'll see what happens. But I'm thinking the Kawhi is going to end up being a Laker. I'm still hoping that he stays in Toronto, but I think he looks at the landscape and he says, we're not any better and all these other teams are better. So I don't know. I think he's going to the Lakers, and we'll see again. I guess whenever that happens, we're going to have to hop on and do a Kawhi emergency pod, even if it's just for a few minutes, just kind of talk about it.
Yeah, I would agree with you there. I think that'd be a good move for us to do that. I'm just scrolling through a couple other things that we didn't talk about real quick. The Knicks, Julius Randle, 2 years. I guess I can live with that. They also signed your boy Taj Gibson.
2 years for that guy too, right?
2 years. I thought
Julius Randle was a 3-year deal, or was the third year a player option?
Third year's a team option.
Let me give you a hint. The Knicks aren't going to pick up that team option in 3 years.
Well, you never know. You never know. Julius Randle could decide to become a defender at some point in his career. You never know. And then the other team in the East that we didn't really talk about was the Pacers, who, you know, finished fifth this year, added Brogdon, who I like Brogdon. I think he's a solid pickup. And then the other guy that they were able to get was – who the other guy that they signed? Oh, Jeremy Lamb, our boy Jeremy Lamb from the Charlotte Hornets. So, I mean, he was 3 years, $31 million. So would you rather pay Jeremy Lamb $10 million a year, or would you rather pay DeAndre Jordan $10 million a year? I think I'd rather pay Jeremy Lamb.
That's not much of a choice there, Mike.
Jeremy Lamb has gotten better over the last season or two. He's played much better than he did at the beginning of his career. So I think Indiana.
But here's the thing, Mike, and I don't want this to be get confused here. I mean, he was playing with Kemba. Are those his playing? Is it just that the rest of the team was so bad, so it looked like he was playing well?
I mean, it could very well be.
Because I mean, he was on Oklahoma City and he looked terrible.
He did. Right? I agree. I agree wholeheartedly. So who knows? But Indiana did add two guys who have, at least in theory, can contribute to them being better. So who knows? Who knows what happens? So
we'll definitely, once this is all done and the dust is settled, we'll kind of break it down and make some little preseason predictions and kind of just talk about it, and maybe we can break down some summer league too, Mike, because I know you've been paying a lot of attention to that. So
yeah, that'd be fun. I'll have to get on. I know a lot of our future and former guests are heading out to summer league, so
Cavs are playing right now in summer league. They lost yesterday, and I think
is that the Utah one or the Vegas?
Yeah,
they're playing the Vegas one, right?
They're playing in the Utah one this year.
Okay,
apparently.
All right, okay. Well,
Windler looked good yesterday, Mike. Not so good today, but he was hitting some deep threes yesterday.
All right. Well, hey, so, I mean, hopefully the Cavs know what they're doing. That's all I'll say. Yeah. All right. Well, we're all waiting on Kawhi with bated breath, so we'll have to see what happens. Thanks for spending 45 minutes or so with us tonight. We appreciate it. And to everyone out there, we'll catch you on our next episode. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to the Hoopheads podcast, presented by Head Start Basketball.